Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here on this first day of 2012, gathered with others who love you in this house of worship. Lord, we want to offer up our lives today to use any way you see fit that we might tell others the good news that not only is Jesus born, but he lived a sinless life and he died on the cross that all men and all women, children, boys and girls, could know salvation. Lord, help our church to be aggressively involved in evangelism this year, that we can fill every seat in this place for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My name is David Blackburn. For those of you who may not know, I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And let me say Happy New Year. It's my hope for you that not only, you know, what is happy? It's kind of hard to define. All of us have a different definition. But as a pastor, I want you not only to be happy in the Lord, but I want you to be blessed in your walk with Christ this year. So I have an Irish wish for the new year. I'm not Irish, but maybe some of you are. And here it is. Here's my Irish wish for you. May all your troubles last as long as your resolutions. Some of you are going to have a trouble-free year, aren't you? How do you feel about 2012? You know, as we go into this new year, we all probably have different feelings. Some of you are excited about 2012 because this is the year someone in your family is going to get married. And, man, that's a great thing. For some of us in this year, there'll be a baby born into our family. And what a wonderful event that's going to be. And this is the year when some in our fellowship are going to retire. And, man, you've looked forward to that for many years. It's going to be wonderful. In 2012, some of the teenagers of our church are going to graduate from high school. And what a milestone that is in their lives. And maybe you've been planning the trip of a vacation, a trip of a lifetime. And I know of some people that are going to go on a trip this next summer. It's going to be wonderful. And this is the year for you. It's going to happen, that trip of a lifetime. For many of us, there's something that will take place in the next 12 months that we're excited about. But on the other hand, some people here are a little anxious about 2012 and what's ahead for you. I know some that are unemployed. I know some that are underemployed. And you're hoping you'll get a new job or a better position this year. For some of us, there are things that we know we're going to have to face. And, you know, we just don't want to face it. Some are going to be having some medical procedures done this year. And you may already have it on your calendar. And you're anxious and you're worried about that. Some may have a suspicion or you may even know that you're going to get laid off or downsized at work. And that's a painful proposition. We all know the world is in a mess at the start of 2012. For that matter, crank it back 12 months, it was a mess when we started 2011. There's suffering of all kinds, injustice, poverty, abuse, hunger, crime, war, and hatred all around us. With all those things, it's easy to think there isn't anything to look forward to this year. Well, in Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us there's something we can look forward to. He writes, "For because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully," read with me, "look forward to actually becoming all that God has had in mind for us to be." Why is it when I ask you to read, only about three of you do? Nobody's getting graded in here. I know some of you were out really late last night. It's a miracle that you're upright. You know, we don't know with certainty what life will bring our way in 2012. No doubt some of what we're going to face will surprise us. On the one hand, there's going to be some good surprises, but then there's going to be some bad ones also. And in this verse that Paul gives us, we see what we can look forward to in 2012 as believers. We can look forward to a stronger relationship with God and what He wants to do in our lives. And I want us to consider three things this morning that you and I can do to look forward to this stronger relationship with God. These are things that we can start doing now on January the 1st. Now, did you get a yellow sheet of paper when you came in? Hold them up. I am going to grade you on this. Can you hold it up? Very good. It's an outline entitled How to Look Forward to the New Year. So let's get started. What do we let go of in 2012? And if you can write, that's fine. I know we don't have, it's maybe hard, but maybe you can remember all these points. But feel free to write. Let go of worry. You know, when people seem to flippantly say, oh, don't worry about it, it kind of bugs me at times. It seems nonchalant and uncaring. They don't know what I'm going through. Do any of you remember that Bobby McFerrin song from 1988? I know I'm dating myself, and those of you don't want to admit that you're that old, but Don't Worry, Be Happy. A one-hit wonder. But what a hit it was. It became the first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And then in 1989, it won the Grammy Award for Best Song of the Year. That's some pretty heady company to be in, Best Song of the Year. I looked the song up, and I was going to sing it for you today, but I'm going to spare you that. Yay, the only applause I'll get all morning. But I do want to give you some of the lyrics. He writes, "Don't worry, it will soon be past. Whatever it is, don't worry, be happy." You know, Bobby made it seem so easy. No work or struggle. But for most of us, it's not easy to let go of our worries. We aren't very good at letting go because our worries are things that seem so large in our lives. And we feel they can just take over and control us. And the kind of worry that I'm talking about this morning isn't some legitimate concern that you have, as we all do, that causes you to take the appropriate actions in your life. No, this is a nervous anxiety about what might take place that keeps us from enjoying what is happening today and also keeps us from looking forward in hope to what could happen in the future. This is the stuff that steals your quality of life. Psalm 37 says this about worry. Don't fret and worry. It only leads to what? Harm. See, that's the danger of worry. It harms us. It harms us emotionally. It can harm us physically. And it harms us spiritually. So how do we let go of worry? It's not just something you can say flippantly, oh, don't worry, and be done with it. There are some verses in the Bible that outline God's way for us to deal with worry. Paul writes this, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's" what? "Peace." See, when it comes to worry, God doesn't tell us, "Don't worry, be happy, end of the story." No, God says we need to do some things to help us with worry. We're to do the things mentioned here. In your handout, there's a section under Let's Go of Worry. It's called Look Forward. If you're writing it down, you can do this, or you can also go into the verse there and circle this phrase, pray about everything. So my question to you this morning, are you going to start 2012 telling God through prayer what worries you? If you haven't prayed and told him about those things, and I know we haven't had a lot of time yet this new year, but I'm telling you to pray and tell him those things. Start today. You should also write this: tell God what you need. Maybe you haven't been talking to God about your needs. You know, some people feel like it's selfish to talk to God about their needs. They think God has more on his agenda than their problems and their needs. You know, he's got war and famine and poverty and crime and on and on and on. Some people think prayer is only for talking to God about other people's needs. And yes, that is a part of prayer. We should be praying for each other, other people's needs. But listen, you and I should be praying to God about our needs. God wants to hear that. Prayer is talking to God about our needs. So if you have a need in your life, and I'm sure all of us do, and you haven't been talking to God about it, you're cutting yourself short from the resources of God. Begin today and commit today to tell God your needs every day of this new year. The third thing we need to write down is something that we often miss. Write this: thank him. This is part of God's plan to let go of worry. As we remember the untold number of things we can thank God for, then we're reminded of his love and provision in our lives. You know, if you just sat down today and think of all the good things God did for you in 2011, it would blow your mind. When we thank him for all he's done for us, it has a way of loosening the grip of worry over us. Peter says this about worry. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In some translations, anxiety is translated worry. The same thing, one and the same. And when I read that, the idea of casting your worries and anxiety on God reminds me of a fishing rod. I used to fish a lot more than I do. I don't fish hardly at all anymore. But I'm reminded of the lure or the hook on the end of the line that goes up into the reel or to the attachment on your cane pole, whatever. And that represents our worries. And the Bible says when we have a worry and we have an anxiety, we aren't just to take that and look at it and study it and fret about it and stew about it and try to figure it out in our own strength. No, Peter says, take your worry and anxiety and cast them on God, just as if you were casting that lure out into the pond. Now, if you're like me, once you cast it out, what do you often do? Yeah, you're like me, aren't we? We reel it back in. Reel it back in. You know, and you look at it again, and you worry about it again, and you get nervous again, and you fret about it again, and you, oh my. So what are you supposed to do then? You're supposed to cast it back out on God. And once you cast it out, if you're like me again, you're reeling it back in. You see, the key to dealing with daily worry is right here in this verse. If I reel the worry, the anxiety, the care of life back in again, and I see it again, and I become overcome again by its immensity in my life, what am I supposed to do? Cast it out again. And friends, you might do this dozens of times a day. I don't know. It's just like people in the summertime that I see fishing on the church pond. And I see them casting out a lure, and sometimes they've got a cane pole and maybe a hook and a worm. They're casting it out, and maybe they're reeling back that bait, or they're repositioning their bobber. And they're doing this over and over. And if you were to walk up from some planet other than Earth and say, what are you doing? They'd say, I'm fishing. There's a process to fishing, casting it out there. And that's what this verse says we're to do with our worries and cares in 2012. And when you do that, the Bible says you remind yourself of something very important. Every time you and I cast that worry and anxiety out on God, we remind ourselves that God cares for us. That's the upside about worry. I never thought there was an upside about worry, but there is an upside. Every time you have a worry or an anxiety, it's an opportunity to remind yourself that God cares about you and God loves you. In 2012, I can guarantee you one thing. You'll have some anxiety. You'll have some worries. You'll have some cares. And every time they come up, remember this verse. And cast them out on God. No matter how small, no matter how large, cast it on Him. And when you do, remind yourself, you know, God loves me. God cares for me. And because He does, I can throw that worry out on Him. The second thing we want to do in looking forward to the new year, take a step of faith. If we want to look forward to 2012, then faith has to play a big part in that. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter of the Bible. It gives us the definition of faith in verse 1. And then throughout the chapter, it talks about how faith acts. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're not going to unpack that verse right now. That's for another message sometime. But there are two important things to remember about faith. Number one, for faith to be present in your life, action is required. For faith to be present, action is required. And number two, faith proves itself by its obedience to the Lord. Faith proves itself by its obedience to the Lord. Now, there are five words in the look forward section under take a step of faith. And these are some words that if you read through chapter 11 in Hebrews, they're mentioned there, and they describe how people acted because they had faith. See, a lot of people think when you talk about faith, you're talking about prayer and going to church. And these are good, but it's a lot more than that. There are many ways that faith can play out or act in our everyday lives. So as I walk through these this morning, you can circle one or maybe more that fits your situation as you look forward to the new year. Some people built, according to Hebrews chapter 11. There was a guy by the name of Noah who built this big boat, and we're all familiar with him. He built that boat because he had faith in God and what God asked him to do. And so maybe this year you need to build something in your life. Maybe you need to build a better marriage. Maybe you need to build a better relationship with your children or a better devotional life. You need to ask God for the faith to help you build something new in your life this year. And then Hebrews 11 says some people went because they had faith. Abraham was living in one place, and God said, I want you to go and live in another place. And Abraham picked up everything, family, and he went. That was faith in action. And maybe God wants you to go somewhere else in 2012. Maybe He's got a new employment destination for you to go to this year. Maybe God wants you to go and serve on one of our many mission opportunities in 2012. And it can be said then that because of your faith, you went and served others. And also, maybe God wants you to be a part of a small group this year. Man, I'm telling you, friends, and this is not in my notes, and don't move my screens. I think small group participation is one of the best things that I've ever done for my Christian walk. And I would encourage you to get involved in a small group. We have so many different small groups. And if there's not something that you like, let us know and we'll build a small group. So some people built, some people went, and some refused things in their lives. Moses refused all the privileges he could have had if he would have stayed in Pharaoh's palace. And maybe this year, you and I need to refuse something because of our faith. Maybe we need to refuse to be a part of certain activities. Maybe we need to refuse to hang out with certain individuals who seem to destroy our faith because of our association with them. Or you need to refuse to give in to certain attitudes such as unforgiveness and bitterness. So whatever it is, by faith, there are some things that you and I need to refuse to do in 2012. Hebrews 11 says, other people left. Moses and the people of Israel left the place where they were slaves in Egypt to go toward the promised land. And again, maybe this year, God wants you to leave something behind. Maybe he wants you to leave a sinful habit. Maybe he wants you to leave a false belief. And by faith, you can leave behind anything God puts his finger on in your life in 2012. And then finally, some people, like Rahab, welcomed people into their life because they had faith. And perhaps God wants us to welcome some new people into our lives this year. Whether we find those new people at school, or find them at work, or find them here at church, our faith will move us to welcome them into our lives. So what's the action that God wants you to do this year in order to take a step of faith? James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by what? Action is dead. So here's two questions we must ask ourselves. What step of faith do I need to take this year? And then, what am I going to do about it? You see, we need to realize that if we don't take a step of faith forward in our life in 2012, we're going to stay right where we are. January 1, 2013 will roll around quicker than we can imagine, and we'll be stuck in the same spiritual rut. And maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I have enough faith to do this. Here's what Jesus said about how much faith you need. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed was powerful faith. Did you know that a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in existence? You see, Jesus knew something about faith that we need to learn. Jesus knew it's not the size of your faith that matters, it's the size of who you put your faith in that matters. Our faith better not be just in ourselves in 2012. Our faith better not just be in our church in 2012 or in each other in 2012. Our faith needs to be fixed on God and what He alone can do in our lives this year. So if you feel like you've got a weak faith or not enough faith to take the next step, that's okay. That's okay. Because God works with all kinds of faith, even the mustard seed faith variety. And with God's help, just take the next step toward what you believe God wants you to do in your life. Paul writes this, "You have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following Him." For those of us who've accepted and made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of our lives, we're told here that we must continue to follow Him. December 31st, 2011, it's over. I got to follow Jesus January 1, 2012. I got to follow Jesus. And you do too. There's a vital tool that we need to help us as we follow Him in 2012. Anybody have any idea what that tool is? Prayer's one. The Bible is the tool. If I'm going to follow Jesus, and if I'm going to have a daily faith, I can't do it without the Bible. Just like food and water are vital to make it physically for me in 2012, the Bible is going to be vital for me to make it spiritually in 2012. So commit today to make the Bible a part of your life this year. You know, when you came in, you received this New Testament reading guide when you came in. And there are many of reading guides out there. You can get them all different places. You can get them digital, any other way. But I'm giving you this today as a challenge to take it home and let it help you read through the New Testament in 2012. If you've got 5 minutes today, you can check off the first box. 5 minutes a day for 5 days in the week, you get 2 weeks, 2 days of the week off, you can go through the New Testament this year. And friends, if you're not reading your Bible, you are not feeding your soul, and you will not have a strong faith in 2012. So let's review. How do we look forward to the new year? Number one, let go of worry. Number two, take a step of faith. And then the last thing, hold on to God's love. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. What an amazing promise for us as we start this new year. So how do you hold on to God's love? Well, it's a paradox because you hold on to God's love by realizing that you're held on to by God's love. Paradox. You don't try to hold on to God's love yourself, but you realize that His love holds on to you. And I can't tell you anything greater this morning than to let you know that God's love is holding on to you, not only today, but the rest of the 365 days this year. Did you know it's a leap year this year? We get 366 days for God's love to hold us. Anyone here born on February 29th? I'm just so curious. Anybody here born on February 29th? Okay, well, we were going to celebrate your birthday. Think about it. Those people only get a birthday every 4 years. I mean, what a rip. In the look forward section, under hold on to God's love, I'm going to encourage you to write down some things that can't separate you from God's love. For instance, you might write, or you might think about writing if you go home, money problems can't separate me from God's love. You need to take the FPU, the Financial Peace University class, even if you don't have money problems. But money problems can't separate me from God's love. Write that down. Or bosses and coworkers can't separate me from God's love. Unemployment and layoffs can't separate me from God's love in 2012. Divorce can't separate me from God's love in 2012. A rebellious and wayward child and can't separate me from God's love. Sickness and disease can't separate me from God's love. Depression, discouragement can't separate me from God's love. So what do you need to write down? I'm sure that it would be different if we were to trade papers. But in the past, what was there in your life that you thought could separate you from God's love? Whatever it is, write it down. And know from this day forward that according to Romans 8:38, it can't ever, 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 ever separate you from God's love. By writing it down, you're doing two things. You're confessing to God, and you're also telling Satan that you know this thing in your life can't separate you from God's love in 2012, 2013, however long you have to live. Simple outline. You can do with it as you please, but I would encourage you to see it as an exercise that God has inspired this morning, and take the outline home. And maybe you haven't been able to write while we've gone through this, but just take the outline home and put it somewhere. You can get at it later, and you can look at it. And when you look at it again, hopefully you'll remind yourself that in 2012, there's a worry that you're going to let go of, and you're going to keep casting that worry on God because you know God cares for you and God loves you. And as you look at the outline again, remind yourself of that small step of faith you need to continue to take every day. And finally, remind yourself to hold on to God's love. All 366 days this year will be an opportunity to remind yourself of the truth that God loves you and nothing can ever separate you from that love. See, I believe with all my heart that 2012 can be a good year for all of us here and those who belong to our church that are they're not here, but they're on vacation or whatever the situation. It can be a good year for all of us. It can be good as we become all God has had in mind for us. So let's look forward to the new year as we ask the Lord to help us to do the things that we've learned this morning and we can have a stronger relationship with Him. On this first day of the new year, I felt the Lord wanted us to provide opportunity for anyone in the congregation who wanted to come up front and pray with some of the brothers and sisters in this fellowship. You know, maybe something has struck a chord through the message, or you're going through some deep waters or some difficulties. You've got physical problems, you've got emotional, relational problems, or if you don't, maybe there's someone in your family that does. I'm a firm believer in praying for each other. And I've asked people to come. There are going to be two people here and two people over here. And they're just going to stand there. And we've already prayed that if, Lord, if the ones that need to come forward will have the courage, the faith, whatever it is, that they'll step out and they'll come forward and they'll let someone pray with them about whatever need that they have, that they're facing right now. What better way to start the new year is praying for each other. So as I pray for all of you, and I know some of you will leave, we ask that you do that quietly. We look forward to seeing you again next week. But as I pray for all of us, then they're going to come forward, and then you'll have an opportunity, if you would like, to come forward. And let me encourage you, it's not a painful process. It's a liberating and freeing process to come forward and say, I need prayer. You don't even have to say what the prayer is that you need. Just say, I need you to pray for me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege we've had and the opportunity to be here worshiping you on the first day of this new year. We look forward in faith to what you have for us. Lord, we know this can be a good year as we grow in our relationship with you. Lord, you have in mind what you want us to be. You want us to be more like your son Jesus, and we submit ourselves to that today. Lord, I pray for these people of faith fellowship and visitors and friends that are here today. That Lord, not only would it be a happy year, that they would enjoy laughter and fun with family and their needs would be met, but it would be a blessed year. That it'd be a year that they were growing closer to God. Lord, put that desire in our hearts. Let that be a part of our being this year. Be with us as we go. And Lord, those who come forward for prayer, we thank you for their step of faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.